Hello, everyone. This is Alan Weiss, and the way I see it, today a story about steel. The United States Steel Foundation. They asked me to keynote for them, but they asked me also to attend a cocktail party the night before. That, to me, is anathema. I told them my plane wasn't getting in on time, and they said, "We're picking you up at your plane. We know it's in on time." I said, "I'll be exhausted. I won't be able to do my best work in the morning." They said, "It's an early party, and we're paying you in advance. Be there." And so, that evening, I walked into a crowded room with about 65 white males, smoking heavily, drinking scotch, and making a lot of noise. As I weeded my way through this crowd, heading for the bar in the far corner, and bemoaning my fate, I was thinking about how I could possibly pass the requisite hour I had to spend in this room. The bartender was mixing my drink. I looked up, and at the other end of the bar, a scant 6 feet away, through a rare open space, I saw a woman. Blonde, beautifully coiffed, wonderfully dressed, jacket, skirt to knee length, 4-inch heels, just a lovely woman. And our eyes made contact, and I am an introvert, and I did not know what to say. And so I said, "You're a woman." She said, "You're very perceptive. You must be the consultant." I said, "Well, there aren't many women in here." She said, "I'm the only one." I said, "Well, what's it like being a woman in the steel business?" She said, "It's quite nice. I've been doing it for years." And then I said, "Well, you must get hit on all the time." And I cringed as I said it. But she smiled and she said, "No, actually, the men are very respectful. I can't complain at all. I'm a salesperson. I visit my accounts on a regular basis. I see my buyers once a month. And people are quite respectful." I said, "No one in all that time, over the years, has hit on you. You can see what a brilliant conversationalist I am." She said, "Oh, I've never had any trouble." She said, "Of course, there was Roger." And so, drink in hand, fearing the crowd, I said to her, "Tell me, please, tell me about Roger." She said, "Roger was a buyer. He was a senior vice president. I would see him about once a month. And he was a good buyer for me. He was a good customer." She said, "And it was interesting because he always remarked on something about my appearance, an accessory, my outfit. He could always spot something new." She said, "It was very, very flattering, almost a little bit strange or eerie." She said, "After about a year, he asked me if I could go with him to have a drink, and we could talk business over a drink." And I said, "I don't think that's appropriate." Now, she told me that neither he nor she were married, but still she didn't think it was right. And he said, "Have I ever been anything but absolutely professional with you?" She said, "Well, no, that's true." He said, "Just have a drink. I need to unwind." And so she said, "We did, and everything was fine." And he placed another order. And for the next 4 months or so, we met instead at a nearby lounge and had a drink. Then she said, one day at the lounge, "Would you please come over to my apartment?" he asked. "I need to show you something." And she said, "Well, I really think that would be out of bounds." And he said, "Have I ever done anything inappropriate?" And she said, "Well, no." He said, "It's not far from here. Just have a glass of wine with me and you'll be on your way." And so she agreed. And she told me they got to his apartment and she had her glass of wine and he disappeared for about 15 or 20 minutes into another room and she was beginning to get very, very concerned when suddenly he reappeared in what she described as a lovely wraparound dress with a wig on, fully made up, with a pair of Manolo Blahnik stiletto heels on. And as she stared at him, he said, "Now, don't be startled, don't be frightened. I've noticed over the years that we're about the same size, and I've always wanted to ask you if you would trade clothing with me." And she stopped, and I looked at her, and I said, "My goodness," I said, "you had your best customer fired for what? Moral turpitude. How did that go over?" And she looked in her glass, and she said, "Well, no, I didn't do that." And I said, "Okay, but you extracted some kind of promise from him, and he purchased from you over the phone after that, huge amounts." She said, "No, I didn't do that." I said, "Well, then you..." I said, "You didn't." And she said to me, "Those shoes were to die for." This is Alan Weiss, and that's the way I see it.
You have been listening to Alan Weiss and the way I see it. Tune in each week for a new episode, and don't miss Alan's monthly video rants, The Writing on the Wall, featured on his website, his blog, and YouTube. The Way I See It is taped live and flash frozen at International Headquarters of Howling Dog Productions, Produced by Buddy Beagle. Executive in charge, Koufax the Wonder Dog. I'm Drew Stevens. Have a great day, and don't forget to floss.